on Sunday, or if you weren't, we were looking at Simeon, and I guess I need to look at Simeon, and he said that the Spirit had told him that he was not going to die until such time as he saw the consolation, and the consolation means until such time as he saw that the Savior come, the Christ, the Redeemer. And we also looked at the word, this is Bible study, so we're studying. We also looked at the word in Luke, the second chapter, and about, Luke, the second chapter, and verse 26, and it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. We were talking about the word this week. Consolation meaning the same thing as the word a comforter, an advocate in Greek is a paraclete. It means someone coming to the aid and side of another, and that's what we studied. And that's what Christ has come to do.
Yes.
I want to look tonight at John, the first chapter, and John chapter 1. And I'm not going to be long tonight. We'll be here for our worship service on Friday night. That probably won't be long either. And then we will be here Sunday morning for Christian education at 10 o'clock for Sunday morning for Christmas Day. We'll be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. And in John, the first chapter, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's making the point here that the person that we know as Jesus Christ in the beginning, we don't know what name he would have gone by, but he's simply referred to as the Word. Because everything he does becomes the Word. It becomes life, and it's who we are. And he makes the point to everyone and to me, because I remember when I first read John, the first chapter, and I wasn't a child when I got this. I was full gospel fellowship, not new full gospel. That's not the church that we created when we left the base. It was full gospel fellowship. And I was in full gospel fellowship. And Ron Davis, I think, Pastor Davis, someone was preaching and teaching. That's the first time I realized that Jesus was in the beginning. Until then, I always thought Jesus began on December 25th, the year zero, you know. But were you saved and believed that? Yeah, I was saved. Mm-hmm. And there's much that you don't know about the Lord when the Lord saves you. And that's the reason why you have to come to Bible study and come to the house of God and spend time in God. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to move on because I'm a few short tonight and try to be, because I only have one thought. When the Word of God says, and we need to believe it, when the Word of God says, faith cometh by hearing and not by the Word of God, it means it.
Yes.
If you will not put yourself in a place where you can hear the Word of God, your faith will not grow.
Mm-hmm.
It is by the Word of God that everything, you know, that our growth comes, life comes. And for everyone who feels like they can somehow grow in God and never hear the Word of God or just get little bits and pieces, well, if you get bits and pieces of the Word of God, you get bits and pieces of growth. It is a shame, and I'm not trying to unsave anybody. My God, I pray everybody would be saved. But it is bad that there are so many people who are sitting up in churches and are very zealous, just like the Jews were in the temple, and they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're devout concerning their churches and zealous concerning the works that they do and all those things, but they have become they've become something they do in and of themselves without ever following the Spirit. And so one of the things that we find out in the Word of God, if you want to grow in God, you must have the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and that by the Word of God. Faith comes by believing and hearing the Word of God. So the Word, John says, or the one we know is Jesus Christ, who becomes Jesus Christ, is not Jesus Christ ever in heaven, becomes Jesus Christ when he's born of the Virgin Mary and becomes carnal or becomes human. John says that the same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was there with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are the people, the persons in Genesis, the first chapter, when God the Father makes a statement, "Let us make man." It's not us and the angels. The angels have never made anything. They just carry out God's will. So anyone who says, well, God's referring to human angels, that's not true. God didn't need the angels to create anything. God created them. And if you ever want to hear a fallacy in someone's teaching, just let them tell you that when God says, let us make man, he's referring to himself and the angels. He's not talking about the angels. He's referring to himself, the Son, the one we know as the Son, who's the Word at that time, and the Holy Spirit. In him was life, and life was the light, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. It says in the New Living Translation. But I think I hang on to what it says when it says the light did not understand it. The light did not receive it. Did not comprehend it. Didn't take it in. Didn't allow it to take root. And it's that way now. Jesus is in the world, and the light is there. The way to salvation is clear, and the way to follow God, and not only that. And Sunday, if you were listening, or if you were not, I was talking about when Christ came and all the things. If you read the prophecies about Jesus Christ is coming, one prophecy, you know, there are prophecies that says that when he comes, he's going to be a deliverer, and that's what he is today.
Yes.
If you'll allow the Lord to do it, the Lord will deliver you today. And another prophecy says that when he comes, he's going to be a comforter,
yes,
a consoler, and that's what he is today. And then when the angels came to the shepherds and told them, he says that to you this day is born a Savior, and that's what he is today. That's what he does today. The same thing he did then, he does now. All these things. And it says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, and the light was there to show the way, to lead them and guide them. Because one thing we need to know, and we must always know, before Jesus came, the Jews were very religious. They had religion. They had a church system. They had religion. They had set up a way of worship, a way of sacrifice. And it's amazing to me, and yet it's not, because we're the same way. It's amazing to me how they could separate themselves from God for, you know, for 1,000 years and still carry on church. You know, since the kings fell away from God all the way back in the Old Testament. But they became very ungodly and tore down Solomon's temple and rebuilt another one. You know, Herod had another one built, the one that was built in Jerusalem that time. Herod had another one built. And they were very organized and doing this and doing that and carried on their traditions and followed through and did all these things. And yet, for the most part, they were ungodly.
Yes.
There was some of them, obviously, like Simeon, like Mary, like Joseph, full of the Holy Ghost. We have to always know, without the Holy Spirit, the devil would have talked them out of everything that the angel told them. He would have told them that wasn't really the Lord, and he would have told them that without their having the Word of God and knowing the Word of God and what the Word of God said, because there has to be a reference to what they were talking about. And they would have never been able to do it. I was thinking about Mary when I was riding home today, and I'm not like the people who worship Mary. Mary is not someone to be worshipped. She's not someone to be prayed to. Her role was to bring Jesus Christ into the earth, but she herself had to have the same salvation that I had. She was not born immaculate. Mary's mother was not a virgin. So people need to stop believing that. That's silly. But and it's evil and demonic because it keeps you from praying through the one you're supposed to pray through, who is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I hear some people say, "No, Jesus, meet Jesus, Mary and Joseph. What does Joseph have to do with it?" You know. But I did think about how Mary had to have the Holy Ghost because, you know, Mary knew, Mary and Joseph both knew. Those people were just as cruel to an unwed mother then as they are to one now.
Yes.
And none of them had anything, you know, nothing great, but still they thought them, you know, and they thought evil of her and the things she had to go through and the ridicule and the reputations ruined. And you know, and say what you want, but for a lot of the people who lived, it never got any better. Yeah. Because if you never came to believe that Jesus Christ, that she bore, her son Jesus, is the Christ, the Son of God, then all your life and all his life, you consider him an illegitimate child, which the Jews did do.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing miracles, but, you know, they still considered him illegitimate. Because, you know, I'm in a church right now. I'm in a church organization where people don't let people forget things. They don't let things go.
Right.
You mess up 10 years ago, and 9 years from then, people still sit around whispering and talking, "Hey, go so-and-so, there goes so-and-so." Well, you know, what about you? You know, what about you? That's another thing I learned in God. You know, when you're always looking at everybody else, what about you? They used to say in the Baptist church, if you have a finger pointing that way, three of them are pointing back to you. But anyway, Mary had to go through all that. And it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And John came and introduced Jesus. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So John came to make sure that everybody knew that Jesus is the Christ. He had to reaffirm at this time what Simeon had already confirmed and Simeon already knew. And he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world would have nothing to do with him or to recognize him as the Christ. But this is the last scripture that's up tonight, and I want to cover the last two scriptures. But as many as received him, as many as were willing to believe in him and willing to allow him to come into their life. Two prayers. I ask the Lord, "Lord, please, Lord, come into my life, and Lord, let me be in your life. I want to be in God and have God in me. I want to be in God, and I want God in me." I want to be in God, and I want God in me. And he says in this, "But as many as received him, but to all that believed on him, all that would believe that he's the Christ," the whole time that Christ walked the earth, it was a constant thing with the Jews, "Show us a sign, show us a sign." And no sign could he show them that was great enough to make them believe, because they wanted not to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus finally tells them at one point when they say, "Show us a sign," he says, "I'm not going to give you any." He says, "There's no, you know, I've interpreted it like this myself and many others." He says, "There shall be no sign given."
Yeah.
And I've said, Jesus has said, "Not going to show you any more signs," but that's not true. It wasn't that he was saying that wasn't going to show him any more signs, because he went on and kept doing miracles to the time that he went to the cross. I mean, 6 days before, you know, just before he goes to the cross, he's in Bethany and Lazarus' house, and shortly before that, he raises Lazarus from the dead. His point was, he was saying, "I have shown you every sign I can show you. I've raised the dead, I've healed the sick, I've cast out devils. Everything they said I was going to do, I've done. I've opened blinded eyes. I've told you the very thoughts and intents of your heart. I've spoke the word of God. I've saved men and women. I've filled them with the Holy Ghost." What, you know? And his point was, there's no other sign I can give you other than the resurrection. He says, there's no other sign that you can get other than the sign that as Jonas was in the whale's belly, he does call him a whale, 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the earth, and after that I'll rise again. He says, if you haven't believed me when I fed 5,000 with two fishes and five loaves of bread, and, you know, probably closer to 12,000 really, because it's 5,000 men plus women and children, and on another occasion it was 7,000 men plus women and children, He said, if you haven't believed all those miracles, the only miracle that you're going to see that's greater than those is for me to be raised from the dead. And he says, and some of you, though you see a miracle, you're still not going to believe.
Yeah, that's right.
You just don't have the mind to believe. It's like us, and when I see Christ, I always look at me first. Me first. I look at me and how he works in me.
Yeah.
I look at how much Christ has been able to affect me. And so that when I'm looking at Christ, because if I'm going to pray for anybody to be delivered, surely I want myself
delivered. Amen.
You know, if you don't want yourself delivered, how are you wanting other people delivered?
Yeah.
And if you can't see when you yourself need deliverance, how can you have discernment to see when somebody else needs it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't see when you need yourself to be brought out and be turned around and to be consoled and to be, you know, to be changed, if you can't see that, how can you say, I have a spirit of discernment? The Spirit told me to tell you, you look just like so-and-so. Don't tell me nothing that you see in the Spirit until you start seeing you.
Yeah.
Don't open your mouth to tell anybody you see anything about them in the Spirit until you allow the Spirit to show you you.
Yeah.
I didn't say that the Spirit had to make you perfect to have discernment, because there are no perfect people on earth. I didn't say the Spirit had to make you perfect to lay hands on the sick and they be healed. Because if God can use a jackass, surely he can use you. But the point being is that if you're going to say that you see everything about everybody, at least admit, I see me too.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, amen.
If you're going to always be saying, that person over there, they got it. Now that's so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, when are you going to see you?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're seeing you and you're remaining like you are, my question is why? You know, why should I want God to change me when the person who's telling me I need to be changed doesn't want God to change them? Why should you want to give me something from God that you don't want? Every waking moment we should be wanting for God to move by his Spirit in us. God to move by his Spirit in us. And Lord, work things out. Keep my mind. Lord, don't let devil overtake my mind. Lord, keep my mind in health. That's one of the things I'm concerned about as I get older. I don't want to lose my mind. I don't want to be a healthy body with no mind. I want the Lord to keep my mind and to keep me on the right path and to keep me going. And I always recognize that no matter how long I stay on the earth and how old I get, there's always something more the Holy Ghost can do to improve me. There's some working that the Holy Ghost can do make me be more like God would have me to be. There's always more compassion to be had. There's always more wisdom to be had. There's always more understanding to be had. There's always more patience to be had. Some people don't have enough patience to listen to anybody. And even when you're talking to them, their minds have already shifted gears. And they're someplace else off over here somewhere, whatever. And you're giving them the best you got. They left you 10 minutes ago because they don't have the patience to listen to anything. And you know what else they don't have? They don't have faith.
Yeah.
Because faith comes by hearing.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to hear the word of God, then you don't have a whole lot of faith.
Thank you.
So he said in this, he says, but as many as received him, and I like that, because he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Or in other words, but to all that believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. And when Jesus came from Simeon's time and from Anna's time, and in Luke, they're among the first people we see that acknowledge that this is the Christ. They know this because of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth knows that he's the Christ. In Mary's womb, because when Mary comes to see her, John, who's also filled with the Holy Ghost, he leaps in her womb, and she knows immediately that Mary is the mother of the Christ. When you have the Holy Ghost and when you allow him to show you things, you're supposed to see clearly.
Yes.
And you're supposed to be able, you know, people are supposed to be able to, it's not supposed to be so that you can't understand what anybody's saying at any time, and you know, and you're so difficult to get along with or to do things. When you have the Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be able to see things clearly.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to take you all day to understand the things that come from God. So he says, and then as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. And when he says gave them power to be the sons of God, in other words, what he said to them was he gave them the right, or he, in other words, the Spirit moved and gave them the right to be and brought them into Christ. In this particular verse, when he says gave them power to be the Son of God, he's talking about us being born again, about us being saved. Everybody who believes him, he makes a son of God. And we become sons of God. And as he reads, he says, which were born not of the blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this refers to the new birth and being saved and being in God and being born again. That's done by the Spirit. As many people who will believe on him, I'm in John, the first chapter. As many people who believe on him, then the Holy Spirit comes in when you believe on him, because I can't make myself a son of God. Old saints of God, always remember, you can't take yourself to heaven. You can't take yourself to heaven. You can't write your own name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't make yourself saved. You need the power of God. You can't keep yourself from the evils of the spiritual realm. You can't do any of those things. You need the power of God. You can't make yourself a new creature. You can't change yourself like God does.
Yes.
That you cannot do. You need the power of God. And it's such a tremendous change. Sometimes I was thinking about today. I was looking online. I was looking at Elder Herman Hicks, Pastor Hicks out in Kansas. And his church gave away $25,000 worth of toys this year. And it was just great. They were on the news, and they were everywhere and everywhere. And having known him, I was just overwhelmed with joy for him and his church and proud of him and everything at the same time. And I thought to myself, I don't even have the words to call to send him in a text to say to him how wonderful it was what they did. And it occurred to me in the Spirit, there's some things that are so wonderful in the earth. That's another reason why we have to speak in tongues, because we don't have the words for it.
Right, yeah.
They're so wonderful and they're so marvelous that we need God to give us words, and we speak in tongues because they're just, you know, it's just so overwhelming. We don't have the words to describe what's really going on in the earth. And that's what it's like when the Lord saves you. I wish I could get everybody to understand how great it is to be saved, not just to hear somebody talk about me and say, but say, Lord, save me.
Yes.
Come in and make a change in my life.
Yes.
And I wish I could get everybody to understand what it's like to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, not the people who are acting holy and the people who think that it's in what I wear, and it's how I speak, and it's where I sit when I come to service, and it's how I dance, and it's who I say glory to, and it's all these things. Hey, look, when you're saved, you'll probably do all those things, but that's not saving you.
Yes.
Let it be because I belong to God, I worship God.
Yes.
My worshiping God doesn't make me his. I worship him because I'm his.
Yes.
My happiness and my joy doesn't make me be in God. I have happiness and joy because I'm in God. But those things don't, you know, those things, that everybody can act like that. You can, you know, if you're going to dance, don't think that your dancing saves you. Do it the other way around. Dance because you're saved. If you're going to lift up your hands, don't think that lifting up your hands saves you. No, lift up your hands because you are saved.
Yes.
Let the joy of the Lord come in. You're going to need God.
Yes.
And as many as received him, John writes, he says that he was a light. He says, and the light shineth in darkness. In other words, the light's showing the way, and the light is bringing everybody out of the darkness, because we're just stumbling and fumbling around. And if there's ever a time when people are stumbling and fumbling around, it's in the earth right now.
Right, yeah, amen, yes.
You know, people on earth don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They just have lost their way. And everything, you know, even among the things that we do in the earth to try and help people, the devil gets in that and people take advantage of that. I was looking at them on the news the other day talking about all the people who, one pastor, one church in Florida, they're being taken to court because they have managed to take $8 million in COVID funds through COVID fraud. In 9/11, when the building came down, there were people who were trying to claim they had relatives who died in the 9/11 building, get insurance claims. And I look at, and I don't know, and I keep asking Ellen Smith, what is going on in Mexico that makes everybody want to cross the border into America? How bad is it down there?
Mm-hmm.
That all of a sudden everybody wants to run and be in America.
America, yeah.
You know, like, how? And if it's that bad, and there are not many of you, why don't y'all get together and change it?
Change it, yes.
So we don't have the power. You would have the power if you would have God.
Right.
Because God will give you the power. You know why you can't change it? Because you don't have God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And your salvation, they remind me, you know. And I'm not against immigration. I'm not. And I'm not against helping people. I'm not that either. I, I feel sorry for them, but you know what they really need? They really need God. They're like the homeless people that are all around here. They need God.
Yes.
You know, Israel was like that at one time. Every time Israel got in trouble, they wanted to run down to Egypt, but they wanted to run to Assyria. They wanted him, don't you know any earth, don't you know any help that we give you on earth is temporary?
Yes, yes.
Don't you know? You know, you stop, you know, your job go away, you start drawing unemployment. It's only for so many weeks.
Yeah, that's right.
And it runs out.
Yeah.
Everything we do in the earth, we put you in a house, welfare puts you in a house. They don't plan for you to raise up 10 generations in a welfare home. They expect you to get in there, work, get on your feet, get yourself together, and go on and become productive yourself. That's the expectation.
Yes.
And you know, when you have God, God will work that out, and God, and that'll happen.
Yes.
But I look at all these people, so he says in this, he makes this point, and John is very explicit about it. He didn't say that everybody who heard about Jesus was saved and became sons of God. Everybody who gave Jesus a minute was saved and became the sons of God. He says everybody who received him, allowed him to come in, allowed him to become a part of their life, believed on him, took him in, heard him. Your name isn't written on high just because you've heard of Jesus Christ.
No.
That's like saying, you know, I've heard of Elon Musk, but I'm not Elon Musk's son.
I'm not
Donald Trump's son. I've heard of him. I'm not Obama's son. You're not Obama's daughter. You've heard of him, but you don't get anything from him.
That's right.
But and the only way you ever would is if one of them were to adopt you. Well,
yes.
God has done that.
Yes. That's right. Amen.
That's what he does when he saves you. He adopts you. And I mean, there's no adoption like it, because even on the earth when we adopt kids, we can't give them our spirit. We try and train them and bring them up, but we can't give them that. God gives you his spirit.
Amen.
He gives you his power. He moves in places that nobody else can. And so John writes, he says, when Jesus came to the earth, he says, he was a light that shone in the darkness. In other words, the people didn't know what they were doing, or where they were going to go, or how they were going to make it. And he says, when Jesus came, and you know what I like about God? God is like my headlights at night. They only show so far. But if I will not outrun them, if I won't outrun them, drive so far, drive so fast that by the time they show me something, I don't have time to react. If I'll allow my headlights to lead me, I can't see the road from Jacksonville all the way to when I'm coming down 95. Seems like when you leave 95, you go around 295. When you hit 10, seems like the lights go out. like you drive off into the darkness. When you leave Jacksonville, you drive off into the darkness.
Yeah.
And I can't see from Jacksonville all the way to Fort Walton Beach at night. But I can see as far as my lights will shine. And I'm willing to allow my lights to shine, to light up and show me the way as I go. I can't see everything in life since the time the Lord saved me. I can't. But I can see far enough to see him. I can see the light that he shines in front of me. And as long as I will stay within the light that God has in front of me, I'll be all right. If danger's in the highway and I'm not outrunning my headlights, if I'm not running so fast, then my head, I don't know if the young people know what I mean by outrun your headlights, but when you get your license, you'll know. You it's at night and you're driving so fast that by the time your headlights show you something, you don't have time enough to stop. You're outrunning your headlights.
Right.
Because your lights only shine so far. If I'm not outrunning my headlights, and my headlights are good, I mean, you can run pretty fast and not outrun them. But as long as you're not doing that, if a deer jumps out in the highway, you have time to react. If somebody's stopped in the highway, you have time to react. And if you know, and just many other things happen. And then when it starts to rain, you slow down because visibility drops. And when you're going through a difficult time, you kind of slow down a little bit and you make sure that you can see God and that you can see where you're going, because the light is always there and you don't want to outrun your headlights again. And so you take it easy. Road gets a little bit slippery. When you change so that you're able to make it, and you're always being guided. That's how it is in God.
Amen.
You can't see. I can't see all of 2023. I can't even see the end of 2022.
Yeah.
But I have this light out in front of me.
Yes.
That if I will allow him, he'll show me what I need to do and how I need to go. Because he has an end result. When I get off, when I turn into that darkness on 10 coming to Fort Walton Beach, I have some place that I have to go. I'm coming to Fort Walton Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that if I stay on this road and follow my life, I will get there.
Amen. Yeah.
The Lord, and when I, and then God, I have someplace I have to go, and it's heaven.
Yes, right.
It's eternal life. And if I will follow God, so he says, so John writes to this, he says, to as many as those who would allow him, to everybody who would receive him, for all the people who would allow him to come in, would hear his word, would obey and go along with God and ask God to save you. You know, when you ask God to save you, you're not just saying, well, okay, I guess I'll ask the Lord to save me, so they'll stop talking about him. You're asking, you're talking to someone who's real. This is not a cartoon. It's not a TV show. It's not something in somebody else's imagination. You're talking to a real person, and you're saying, come in and save me. And he comes in with power, and you feel the power.
Yes, you do.
You feel the power. You feel it in so many different ways. You feel the burden lift. Your mind senses the power. You know God is there because God is real. He's not imaginary God. He's not something we conjure up. God is real. And John wrote and he said about Jesus, because he says that light, because Isaiah says that when Jesus comes, he says he's going to be a light unto the Gentiles. And another place it says that, can't call the name of the city now, saw a great light when Jesus came. And light came and people had direction and they were able to find their way. You know, if you're having a hard time finding your way right now, you know what you need? More Jesus.
Yes.
You need a greater light. You need, you know, the light is there. If you're having a difficult time going through right now, you know the answer to all the problems that you're having. It's always in Jesus. Because God has power. Listen, I'm going to say it again. Power, power, power. It isn't just, you know, I read the word of God and things happen. God has power. Saints of God, believe me, God has power. And when God moves for us, he moves by his great power. We are kept by his divine power, by his godly power. Not just the physical of us, but God has power in the Holy Ghost. He changes things and arranges things and moves things and sets things up because God has great light.
Yes.
At the end of my headlights. That means as far as they show. I'm not there yet. I'm back here. And my headlights are showing down there. My headlights already see what I can't see.
Yes.
Because my headlights, at the end of my headlights, is far out. Hasn't come into focus for me yet. But my headlights see what I can't see yet. Once my eyes focus on something, then my brain has to interpret what I'm seeing. And then I have to react according to what my brain says. My brain says there's a curve. There is a low spot. There is a car in front of you. There is a this, there's a that. And then I have to make an adjustment. I can't just put my feet on the gas and just say, well, I ain't slowing down for nothing. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't. It's like that in God. God sees what's way, matter of fact, God sees the end of me. He does. And he's bringing it into focus for me. But I have to keep listening. I can't stop. You know, my car is working. I hate riding with someone who can't talk to me without looking at me. You're driving, but you got to keep, when you talk, you got to keep, and you know, I last person I rode with like that, I said, hey, look, let's just not talk. You need to keep your eyes on the road. If you can't talk to me without looking at me, you're driving, you got to keep doing one of these numbers. No, I can't live like that. Literally, you won't live like that.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to keep your eyes on him. To as many as received him.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Gave him power. In other words, made them the sons of God. And made, you know, caused them to be the sons of God. And this is what Simeon saw. He saw this Savior, this Deliverer, this person coming, which were born not of the flesh or the will of man, but of the Spirit. In other words, the new birth. You must be born again. We become God's son because we are born again. God comes in by the Spirit. And then, last point for tonight, our spiritual birth in God is not with his greater power and it's not with his greater sign, but our spiritual birth in God is as real as the spiritual birth of Jesus Christ when Christ is born. You need to know that when the Lord saves you, you also have a spiritual birth.
Yes.
It is the new birth. It is being born again. The Spirit comes in, and as Romans says, in the spirit of adoption, and he births us or gives us or brings us into God so that we become God's sons and daughters. As many as receive him, gave them power to be the sons of God and the daughters of God, the people of God. Our names are written on high. That's something that actually happens. So that when you decide you won't deny God, you need to know that God knows who you are, and you need to know the power of God. When you ask God to save you, God does that.
Yes.
It's not by unanimous decision among us. I hear people say all the time, you know, and I know he's saved. Yeah, we know he's saved. Hey, he might be, and you might be right, but that's not what saved them, because you know they're saved. It's the power of God. I know he... And I'm out and say, yes, they probably are, but it's not because you have declared it. It is the power of God. If they're saved, it's not because I've declared it. My God, I've seen people say that a lot of people are saved, and they walk out and say, you know, same people I've heard say that they ain't got nothing, and they're the very ones who saved, sanctified, and full of the Holy Ghost, and going on God, and walking around today, and counted so many people out. I was thinking about the other day, all the people I know who people have counted out, and practically all of them. I was trying to think the other day, are there any of them that aren't doing well?
Yeah.
I can only think of maybe one who's not doing well. The rest of them are prospering and thriving and going on in God. Why is that? Because they have God. And your counting them out doesn't make God leave them. Because you don't like them doesn't make God leave them. You're not liking what they do doesn't make God leave them. You're not liking what I do doesn't make God leave me. God has to not like what I do in order to leave me. And as long as I'm satisfied in God, you can not like me all you want. You're not wanting to hear when I preach. You're not wanting to preach doesn't make me not preach the word of God. It doesn't change God's mind about me. God has a way. You want to be in God. And this is when it talks about when the Word of God talks about being eternal, you know, talking about eternal security and being saved forever. It's not saying that you can't leave God and go back into sin. His point is, as long as you will be in God, no one can take that away from you. That's why Jesus says to all those that God has given him, no one can pluck them out of my hand. In other words, when you belong to God, you can leave God, but no one can take you away from God. God keeps those who, you know, it's not like, oops, I lost one. It doesn't work like that in God. The only way that you're no longer in God is you have to leave God. You have to say, I don't want to be in Jesus anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus anymore. I don't believe in heaven anymore. I don't believe in the Holy Ghost anymore. You have to do that. You have to make that declaration yourself. No one can come up and say, well, I don't believe they're saved. Well, we don't care what you believe in that regard. We're interested in where we are in God. We got too many people who sit around and they not only judge whether people are saved or not, but they're looking at other people. Well, if so-and-so say they're saved, they're saved. No. If the Holy Ghost say they're saved, they're saved. Whether so-and-so says they're not. If the Holy Ghost says they're saved, they're saved. He's the person who determines whether you're saved or not. And he comes and takes up his abode. Nobody on earth can make that determination. Oh, if Bishop so-and-so say they're saved, they're saved. No. If the Holy Ghost says they're saved, they're saved. Bishop so-and-so might not like them for some reason or another. But if the Holy Ghost says they're saved, they're saved. Because he's the one who does the saving.
That's right.
He's the one that when he certifies you, the angels write your name on high in God's book. They write your name in God's book. They write your name in the Lamb's book of life. They write your name in heaven in God's book. They write it out in God's book. He's the one who determines. I'm dwelling with them. I have become a part of them. They're in me and I'm in them. He does that. Never mind about anybody else. And then if all of us who have the Holy Ghost, we agree, then we're agreeing with the Spirit. But we aren't saving you, and we're not making you saved. We are agreeing with the Spirit that you are saved, that the Spirit has done that. But to sit back and say, well, they left, hey, there's something wrong with it. They ain't got no Holy Ghost. No. Mm-mm. No, we're not the Savior. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one who comes. And when I ask Jesus to be my Savior, Jesus be my Savior. I want you to save me. And I don't have to have all of what people have made up long dissertations of what you got to say. You know, I heard somebody say one time, when you come to the Lord, you got to confess all your sins. Oh, you need to stop saying that. Because you haven't confessed all your sins yet. Sometimes you don't even know, you know, not sometimes. When you come to the Lord, you don't know all the things that are that God doesn't want you doing. It takes time for Him to show you a whole lot of them. I've heard people say that. And then I've heard other people say, well, when you come now, you got to do this and got to do this. No, I'm going to tell you what you got to do. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to believe that He's God's Son. Yes. And you must believe, one, that He died on the cross of Calvary. And two, that He was resurrected from the dead. And knowing that He was born of the Virgin Mary, that's how He became God's Son. Yes. And knowing that He died and that He was resurrected, when you believe that, you can ask Him, now, Lord, save me. I want You to save me by Your great power. Lord, come in and save me, and God will do it.
Yes.
And the Lord will save you.
Yes, He will.
Because the Word of God says, I don't care about your word. I'm only talking about the Word of God. The Word of God says, for as many as call upon His name, He says He would save them. That's what the Word of God says. And all other added things that you pick up from different theologians, different churches, different places or whatever, then you want to learn to follow God. But all other things you add that people add in of, well, you must do this and you must do that. I ain't seen no tears. The Bible doesn't say anything about tears. It says that if I will call upon His name, He'd save me. That's what it says. That is the Word of God. And it also says, for all the people who say, well, you know, it means this, I mean, it also says that you're not supposed to add or take away one thing to the Word of God. For all you add on, folk, who add your own traditions and things in there about being saved, for all of you who add all that on, it also says you're not supposed to add anything or take it away. When I read Romans and it tells you how to be saved, that's it.
Right.
Don't care whether you like it or not. Now, if you come down and you have a great experience when you're saved, and you're shaking and trembling and quaking and doing all those, I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say, because you know, if someone means in their heart when they ask God to save them, God saves them, then dare any one of us stand by and go, well, I didn't see any signs. It's not you who's looking for signs. It's the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He's the one who makes the determination. Mm-hmm. And besides all that, you don't have to worry about it. Because for all of us who have the Holy Spirit and who do have discernment,
mm-hmm.
and I have some of that now.
Yeah.
For all of us who have the Holy Ghost and do have discernment, just wait.
Yes.
The Bible also says, judge nothing before the time.
Yeah.
For all of us who have the Holy Ghost, just wait. Everybody shows what manner of man they are by the fruit they bear.
Yes.
And when we're talking about that, we're not talking about getting people saved. We're talking about their mannerisms, their way, their demeanor, how they act. Every person shows whether they're saved or not by the way they act. Yes, they do.
Yes.
It comes out sooner or later.
Yes.
And we find out how much discernment you got.
Mm-hmm.
We find out how much arrogance you have. We find out just how puffed up you are. We find mm-hmm. all those things in time.
Yes.
Find out when you ain't got no sermon, too.
Mm-hmm.
We also find that out. We find out when when you don't hear people. If you don't spend much time in the Holy Ghost, it shows.
Yes, yes.
You spend all your, you can spend a whole lot of time in church and spend no time in the Spirit.
Right. Yes, right.
Oh yes, yes you can. Show me that in the Bible. The Jews were offering up sacrifices and were devout in what they were doing, and they still didn't have the Holy Ghost.
Yes, right. Yes.
No, they didn't. So I want to encourage everybody tonight. I'm done for the night. I'll be back Friday night. Tune me in or not. But for sure, whether you tune me or not, tune in God.
Amen. Yes.
You know, if you don't, you may want to hear me and you may not, but listen to God. Amen. I always want to hear God.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're going to listen to anybody, make sure they don't mind opening their Bible and showing you in the Word of God that you need God.
Mm-hmm.
You need God more than it. God is the absolute, that's what you got to have. That's bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
As many as received Him gave them power to be the sons of God. Let's stand. I want to pray tonight. I see Elder T'Angela down there, and I want to pray for her tonight. Also for Elder Paulette. Elder Trina Thompson went through her third procedure today. I'm praying the Lord will really touch her in her body. Sister Nancy's out there. I see her on there tonight. And she just needs the Lord to just work in a multitude of ways for her. I want to say this, too. When the Lord leads you and guides you, you have to be willing to follow God.
Yes.
Yeah, and you have to be willing to follow God. and trust God that God has the right answer.
Yes.
Many times our feelings and what we're doing or whatever will get in the way, because and we would say, that can't be Lord, but it is God. It is God.
Yes.
And God knows where he's taking you to, and God knows what he's going to do. You have to follow God. I see the elders that are on tonight, so I thank God for them. I pray the Lord just bless them and keep them too, and that everybody just have great holidays. And like I said, in this season of Christ's birth, this is a miraculous season. This time of year, this time we celebrate, you know, I don't know whether it's the time when Christ was really born or not, doesn't matter. It's the time that we signify the, his birth, and we know that he's born. So it works well for us, and the Holy Ghost goes along with it. Matter of fact, I'm sure it was set up by the Holy Ghost, otherwise he would have stopped it a long time ago. You can't celebrate things that the Holy Ghost doesn't go along with and still be in Christ, because when you're celebrating something that the Spirit doesn't go along with, that's idolatry.
Yes.
So then I thank God for it, and I pray the Lord just bless every one of us and whatever blessings we need. This is a season for miracles, and during this time, don't be afraid to ask God. Say, Lord, I need a miracle.
Yeah.
Chandra got a miracle just before she went on her cruise.
Yeah.
One was totally unexpected. She was expecting something, but when it showed up, it was twice as much as what she had thought it would be. And it was the glory of God. If you in this season, for everybody who's here, just say to the Lord, Lord, I just, you know my life and you know where I am. Because I know I'm praying it every day. I just expect a miracle from God. I want a miracle from God. I need a miracle from God in so many different ways. This church needs a miracle from God. The Lord needs to work a miracle here. We need him to break Satan's power to keep people from coming from this church. I'm convinced that that's what the holdup is.
Yes.
And I'm praying the Lord will break those yokes in Jesus' name. And for all the people who hear me, for India, for everybody else, I pray the Lord will just bless you tremendously. Everybody who's here, the Gamble family is here, from Elder Reed, Elder Smith, Chandra, Timaeus, everybody who comes. I was reading Robert's post today on Facebook, and he was saying how the Lord had kept him during the course of the year. And I'm glad he posted that. Now I'm praying that he will, if God is doing all that for you, then give God some time.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you're willing to say the Lord is blessing me, then you know what you need to do? Then you need to glorify God.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you for your Holy Ghost power. And Lord, we ask you to heal us tonight. Lord, touch every one of us. Lord, move by miracles, signs, and wonders. Lord, stretch forth your hands to heal, Lord. Move by signs and wonders in the name of the Holy Child Jesus Christ. In the name of the Holy Child Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Lord, in the name of the Holy Child Jesus Christ, and the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Lord, which he wrought, Lord, when you raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Lord, even your great power, Lord, we ask you to move among us and heal us tonight and break every yoke and set us free. And Lord, give us, Lord, move by your miracle-working power tonight. Lord, move mightily, even as you did, Lord, when your son Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin. Lord, move among us and heal us and deliver us and set us free, Lord, and do all those things that Jesus came to do.
Yes.
Lord, comfort our hearts tonight and console us, Lord. Move in our lives. Lord, I pray, Lord, change things and make a difference in us, O God. Lord, for those of us who need to be saved and those of us who are saved, Lord, be our salvation tonight. Lord, make us strong in the Holy Spirit, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, Jesus Christ is God with us. Lord, we thank you and praise your name, and we give you all the glory and all the honor in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, keep us safe. Keep Sister Gamble safe on the highway. Lord, please watch over and keep her. In Jesus' name, let no hurt nor harm befall her and her family during this holiday, O God. Keep them, keep Chandra and Timaeus, Lord, on the seas tonight, O Lord. Bring them home safely, get them back to shore, O God. Let no hurt nor harm befall them. Lord, I bless, Lord, pray for, Lord, bless Elder Russell and Sister Russell, Lord. Say to the Lord, rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, work things out, Lord, for for whoever's stealing from them, Lord, let them be found out, O God. Lord, let them recover all.
Yes.
But Lord, we know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And for all that those people are taking, Lord, give it back to them.
Yes.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And work that out, O God.
Yes.
Work out things in this jurisdiction in Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. I want to encourage everybody today, something else tonight, because I heard on the news, Ella Russell and I was talking about it earlier, as you're traveling and going around in all these different places, use your credit card, not your bank card, and then pay your bills, because you know, if you're in stores like TJ Maxx and all those places, you don't have much, you don't have a problem.